Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
It doesn't get any better than this, and it hasn't. Thank you.
Jim continues to work as a consultant for the company in Sunbury. John retired in 2006 when Buttercrust was sold to Sara Lee. AccuWeather says sunny today, a high near 80, clear overnight, a low 58. For more news all the time, go to WKOK.com. It's time for the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Our phone line at 1-800-795-9565 is powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. And, of course, we're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury is Sunbury Motors. And Routes 11 and 15, Sunbury Motors Kia in Hummel's Wharf. So our question has been today, on this Father's Day weekend, do you remember the first time your father took you or your family took you to an event, or the time that you were taken to a memorable event? Conversely, you as a father, can you remember the first event you brought your children to or a memorable event that you brought your children to on this Father's Day weekend? Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We've had some great memories already put forward on the show today. I'd love to hear yours. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. By the way, Major League Baseball has denied R.A. Dickey's appeal.
Good.
That's ruining your fantasy league.
No, my fantasy team's already been ruined. A no-hitter would not save that team.
No, seriously, it was ruined at the draft.
Yes, you're exactly right. I will not deny it.
Joe Torre, Major League Baseball's executive vice president, upheld the official scoring of the play today. I think he appreciated the Mets' effort, but also felt there should be more of a focus on the decision rather than the accomplishment if the ruling had been overturned. He says, actually, he's relieved. Dickey surrendered the controversial hit when Upton bounced the grounder to right, who was unable to cleanly barehand the ball just in front of the third base bag. The Mets filed a formal appeal. But again, it's Upton. Upton flies down the line.
Well, wasn't this early in the ball game as well?
Yeah, very early.
See, and that's another thing, you know, that I looked at with it being in the first or second inning. Come on, you overturn it in the first or second inning, and you had 9 innings to discuss it, but nobody did anything about it. Why is
that's
it
my
okay
point.
2 weeks later?
We get official scoring changes all the time.
Sure.
Play back in the third inning has now been changed from a hit to an error, or the play back in the third was changed from an error to a hit. Happens all the time.
I'd be more okay with that in that case.
If it happens during the game, that's
right.
Fine.
Yes.
And they do have replay up there. They can look at it. They can look at it. I mean, the official score can lean back and go, okay. Why do you think they change it? Because they look at it. They'll just sit there and 3 innings later contemplate, I wonder if that was an error. No, they take a look at it. And sometimes they're called from the dugout. Take a look at it. That happens too, you know.
No, that never happens.
No. But R.A. Dickey, and to his credit, it couldn't handle it any better.
Yeah, he seemed kind of awkward with the whole thing. It seemed right. He seemed kind of uncomfortable is the word I was looking for.
Yes. And Tiger, by the way, is 8 minutes away from teeing off.
8 minutes to Tiger.
Mm-hmm. Tiger time.
Tiger time, 8 minutes away.
And I believe on 18, Graham McDowell bogeyed. And he is now at one over. But Jim Furyk parred. He's at one under for the tournament. That will be a very difficult score to beat today in the clubhouse. Furyk shot 69. Some guys, when you play the U.S. Open, you can't just play your game. You have to adapt your game to the course you are playing. Bubba Watson's a perfect example. He had driver on every hole that wasn't a par three yesterday. You can't do that at the U.S. Open. You can't. Even Mickelson only hit driver four times yesterday. He just had trouble controlling the golf ball, pure and simple. No matter what he was using off the tee yesterday, he just had trouble controlling it. But he still adapted, for the most part, his game to the course. Tiger was using nothing but irons off the tee yesterday. And
now, I haven't seen this course. What's the reasoning behind... I haven't seen this course in years, I should say. The reasoning behind that of using an iron instead of the driver, is that because the fairways are a little more narrow, or...
Well, at the U.S. Open, the narrowest they're allowed to be are 22 yards. Okay? 66 feet.
Okay.
It's not a lot of room.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Are these at that minimum? Is that because I haven't seen this course in years?
Well, there are several areas where it is at that minimum. Plus the rough. Once you hit a ball into the rough, it's not forgiving.
That much I do remember is the rough was being very deep.
And it penalizes you. And you also have what makes this course unique are the postage stamp size greens. Very small greens at Olympic Club. Thus, an even greater premium on accuracy. So you can't spray the ball here and get away with it. Now, you could spray it a little bit more at Augusta National, a little bit wider, a little more forgiving, rough and not as punishing. You can do that. As great a course as Augusta National is, you're not going to find 4-inch rough as a primary followed by an even bigger cut next to it. You're not going to find that. The greens at Augusta are incredibly fast and undulating. These greens are fast with some undulation, but small. They're small targets to hit into. Thus, the premium on accuracy. That's why you really... You know, Ben Hogan, the great Ben Hogan, do you know what he did when he went to the U.S. Open?
No.
He would drive to the course deliberately 5 miles per hour under the speed limit. Why? Because mentally he wanted to get himself prepared for patience.
That's an interesting theory.
And that is what you need. You need accuracy. You need patience. You need to adapt your game to the course. Tiger does all this, by the way. It's just a quiet. Now, again, for him, if he gets a little errant, he's going to post a number that's different. And if he doesn't putt well, he'll post a number that's different. He's still in that stage where consistency still is not. It's not the same consistency he had from 1998 through 2007 or 8. That 10-year run where he was just incredibly consistent, dominant, and so forth. He was dominant at the Memorial, had a great finish. He has followed that up with an excellent opening round on a very tough course. And he approached it right. You know, he backed off the big driver. He was willing to hit three shots in on a par five if he had to. And he putted fairly well, including that 40-footer he drained, which if he had missed that one, would have gone probably off the green. You know, and he knew it. You have to get lucky sometimes, and he got lucky there. But he created his own luck yesterday.
I'm just thinking about, you know, being 14. This is a young man the age of my son almost. Actually, he's a year older, playing in the U.S. Open. I mean, I can't imagine what goes through your mind at 14 years old playing in the U.S. Open. And worst thing is, you start off with triple bogey, double bogey, 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 and all of a sudden you're eight over. It's like, oh, wow, this is the way golf's played on the tour. I'm not in a hurry to go here.
But what works to his advantage, though?
Well, the fact that he's 14 and playing a U.S. Open right now, I mean, that's huge, because he will never have to worry about playing on a bigger stage for a long, long time.
Yeah, but also the fact that there aren't any expectations.
True.
It's all personal. In other words, you know, I'm sure deep down, I'm going to play the first two rounds of the U.S. Open. I doubt the young man is sitting there thinking, hey, I might make the weekend. So you're allowed to come back from something like that. And he did come back from it. He did come back.
What did he end up shooting today? Did you see that? Or did he not make the cut to get to Friday?
Oh, no. He's out there playing. Okay. He shot 78 yesterday, right?
I read somewhere that they said he may not play on Friday for one reason or another. So.
Oh, well, there's no cut. The cut's today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I always thought. The cut was after Friday. But
right now, the projected cut is +5.
Wow. That right there tells you what kind of course you're playing on.
But that, you know, if Thompson comes back and Woods doesn't go anywhere, that will come back. All right.
But that tells you the course that you're playing on when +5 is the cut.
Sure.
How does this course in your mind compare with Bethpage Black?
Bethpage Black is a public course. It's
right.
Longer.
Right.
It's a longer course. This course has been changed a bit to lengthen it. The greens at Bethpage Black are slick, fast, can be unforgiving at times, but they're a bigger target to shoot at than these greens.
Which do you think is the tougher of the two, or does each one equally?
What's wonderful about picking U.S. Open courses is each one has their own personality.
Yeah, I mean, Bethpage, as you said, you have bigger green, but the rough was just wicked, as I remember that.
Right, it is definitely wicked. And you also don't have the New York crowd, as Sergio Garcia will tell you. And next year, we want to take this show to Ardmore.
I am looking forward to that.
Yes, we want to take the show to Ardmore next year at Marion as it returns to Pennsylvania. And that is something that we are working on for next year, to take this show there.
Oh, hang on. We have breaking news, Steve. Tiger is teeing off. Okay.
And the world goes round.
Just for a moment, the world stopped. And then it continued.
But what he does, love him, hate him, there's no in-between with him. He draws eyeballs to the sport.
Well, he does what Michael Jackson did. What Michael Jordan did for basketball. There were a lot of people that just wanted to see what everybody was talking about with him and watched him play. He does the same thing for golf. People just want to watch him play just to hear what everybody's talking about.
The ratings were up 137% at the Memorial because he was in the hunt. Turned out he won it. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 for you. With Father's Day coming up, what's the first event or memory that you have of your father taking you to a sporting event? And conversely, for you as a father, do you remember what event you took your children to for the first time, or conversely, something was a memorable event that you took them to? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Those are some of our discussion points for today.
As I was looking here at the update here on the U.S. Open, Steve, it appears as though they may be moving the projected cut.
Well, they're going to move the cut. I mean, because it all is going to depend on what the final number is on the day as the leader in the clubhouse.
Well, as of right now, the cut would be +8, which would mean the young man who's 14 is 9 over, who has not teed off yet today, if he were to happen to play one under, he would actually make the cut to the weekend. What kind of story would that be? I mean, being the story alone. Can you imagine being the 14-year-old just going, hey, I made the cut for the weekend?
Absolutely. Well, let's go to the phone line, because we are very pleased to bring into the show to talk to us today the first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, Matt Adams, the pride of Philsburg Osceola High School. Matt, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, let's get to this right away, Matt, because for you, you get to the show and you hear about the show and you're 22 games into this thing. Is it everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome up here. I mean, the level of competition and just the way guys go about their business up here, it's awesome to see and be a part of.
You say the way the guys go about their business, it's awesome to see. What have you just learned in a short period of time that you know will benefit you as you continue your professional career?
The big thing is just learning to keep an even keel. I mean, like, if you're going good or you're going bad, you got to be the same person day in and day out.
Grew up, you went to Philsburg Osceola High School. When you look back on your days at Philsburg Osceola, and everyone has dreams about where they're going to go in their life and their career, give us an idea of what P.O. meant to you, that set a foundation that set you on your way.
I mean, P.O. was good. I mean, it was a great school, great academic school, and then we had a pretty good ball club the 4 years that I was there. And then even since I left, I mean, they've been going to the districts, and this year they went to the states and had a rough loss, but I mean, it was a great experience to get my feet wet with baseball and then continue on to college.
And that, of course, meant Slippery Rock. What was that experience like?
It was awesome. I mean, my high school coach, Tuck Sankey, played for Jeff Mester up there, so he kind of gave me a little bit of idea what to expect and everything, so it was good. I mean, I had three great years there and met a lot of good friends that I still stay close to.
Of course, the State College Spikes began as a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate in 2006. In fact, two of your teammates, Jason Mott and Alan Craig, were on the original State College Spikes team. You had to work your way through the Cardinals minor league system. What did the Cardinals minor league system mean to you to set the foundation that actually got you to the major leagues?
I mean, it was a great experience. You got a lot of great coaches and instructors and everything to teach you about baseball and try to improve your game.
Two home runs. Tell us about both moments.
The first one was amazing. I mean, just doing it here at Busch Stadium and the crowd, it was just the loudest stadium. I mean, thing I've been a part of inside the stadium. And then the other one in Houston was awesome too, because I mean, it got our offense going, and I mean, it was just great to, I mean, even the people there in Houston were cheering for me as I was running the bases, so it was a great experience.
It must be an incredible thrill. Have you thought, I mean, has it ever crossed your mind, because you weren't the one that directly had to do it, but has it ever crossed your mind saying, you know, this is where Albert Pujols was for years?
Yeah, I mean, it's crossed it, but I got to keep my mind in the game and continue to try to keep getting better. I can't get caught up in the moment.
Give us an idea for a Major League Baseball player where, you know, you're a success when it doesn't go right 7 out of 10 times. That means you're still hitting 300. Is it an at-bat thing, confidence at this level?
I think it's more pitch-by-pitch. And at bat, I think you just got to concentrate a pitch by pitch and just kind of stay relaxed and stay within your game.
Give us an idea what that clubhouse is like with the defending world champions.
It's an awesome clubhouse. I mean, everybody in there is great. I mean, there's a lot of classy veterans in that clubhouse that teach the young guys and decide how to go about it.
It's interesting going for you in the ballgame will be Kyle Loesch, who's off to a 6-1 start. I believe he's also the Cardinals' opening night starter when they were at Miami. And he's a crafty veteran, but he's also the kind of guy that's dependable and around the plate. I know you're facing the best of the best when it comes to pitching, but is there a little bit of comfort that the pitchers you're facing are a little more reliable and around the plate, as opposed sometimes to minor league pitching where it can be a little more erratic?
No, I mean up here it's just you go out there and you trust the guy out on the mound that he's going to have his stuff and you just got to play good defense behind him.
What have you worked on specifically now on a daily basis to try and make yourself better? So this stay in the majors is going to be a long one for you.
Just all around my whole game. Offensively, go about it and try to get a better approach offensively, and then defensively, just try to get better around first base.
Give us an idea about the state of the Cardinals right now. A couple games over 500 right now in third place. What's the feeling around the ball club and around St. Louis?
I mean, it's good. I mean, everybody here still keeps a positive mindset, and we still go about our business the way we want.
You also have most players are better hitting at home than on the road. You're 270 in Busch Stadium. What is it about the park, the atmosphere, or even the background that makes it a very good place for somebody to hit?
Simply the fans. I mean, we got loyal fans that are here to support us every game.
Did you grow up a Penn State fan, Penn State football fan at all, Matt?
Yeah, I did. It was cool to see couple of my buddies play for the team.
Yeah. Who's that?
That was J.D. Mason.
Right.
And then I got to know a couple of the guys through him.
Yeah, J.D. Mason was a tight end here for years. He wore number 88. In fact, his last game was here last season. Do you think back to the journey at all? I mean, it's difficult because you're in the middle of doing something and you're trying to make yourself better on an everyday basis. Can you ever catch yourself just in a reflective moment saying, man, I can't believe I went from there and here I am now?
No, not really, because I've been around these guys a lot. So, I mean, it's easy to just continue to go about your business.
But is there anybody else up in the Cardinals that really you went through the minor league system with that's made the transition to the majors easier just by saying, yeah, I know him, I know him, and I know him?
No, not really.
Hmm. That's amazing because for Mott, for example, even as Alan Craig, because they both started here, that's amazing. Now for you heading into the weekend, just give us a brief preview of the weekend here because you guys have another big series coming up in interleague play.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to cut this short because I got to go batting practice.
You know what? That makes sense. Why don't you go take batting practice? And, Matt, thanks for the time you gave us today. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
All right, Matt Adams with the St. Louis Cardinals. Great to have him with us. Out of Phillipsburg Osceola High School. And great to have the PO product here on board. Kevin, you know, you get great stories out of our area. We have Super Bowl champions out of our area, and now we have a guy playing for, obviously, the defending world champions of baseball.
You know, if you go onto a team and all of a sudden you get called up to replace a guy like Albert Pujols, at least you're doing it on the team that has rings on their fingers already, you know?
Right.
That's a nice way to start your career.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about that. And but he also didn't have to do it directly. He was called up from the minors eventually to take the spot. So it wasn't handed to him and said, okay, you're now Pujols' replacement. At least he has the luxury of there was somebody else in between. 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Phone line at 1-800-795-9565. It is powered by Lenape Solar. You can visit them online at lenapesolar.com. And today's show, every Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. And we've been asking fans today, do you remember the first, on this Father's Day weekend, the first event your dad brought you to? or memorable even event. And for dads, what's the first event you brought your children to? Our number 1-800-795-9565, and Tiger is on the course.
Tiger with a birdie. I don't know. I just
No, he's parred.
There was a tournament I was watching once, and yeah, they just made it so overdramatic. Every time Tiger's on the course, we go for the birdie.
Right. I would like to point out, though, he did par. He did not birdie the first hole, so he's still at 1 under. Score to beat today is Jim Furyk. Shot 69 today.
Well, see, and that may move the cut up from what we were talking about from like 9 to 5. So
yeah, but it depends on Michael. Yeah, but it depends on Michael Thompson.
Right, right. But with that kind of a day, that's actually a good score on this course for.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's. But Jim Furyk, one of those players, won the Pennsylvania State Golf Championship on the Penn State Blue Course back in 1987, and is a U.S. Open champ himself. Our number 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And our thanks to Matt Adams of the St. Louis Cardinals, product of Philsburg Osceola High School here in Central Pennsylvania, for joining us on the show. Cardinals getting ready for a game tonight at Busch Stadium. Let's go to Ken in Milton on the Lenape Solar Hotline. Ken, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I like the question you're asking today. I was actually just thinking about that a couple of days ago, and I get a unique opportunity to say, now, I'm the guy that calls in and tells you how much I don't like the Phillies, and I'm a Mets fan, but my first professional athletic experience was with my father in a Battery Old Veterans Stadium. You remember, they used to have what they called Twine Night Doubleheaders, where they'd have a 4 o'clock game, then I believe again a 7 o'clock game. I had the opportunity to see one of those, and the Phillies were playing the San Francisco Giants, and in the same day I got to see Steve Carlton and Vida Blue pitch. And
wow.
I didn't realize the gravity of it at the time, but looking back now, that was a pretty big deal, and it's kind of exciting to be able to say that.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people I've talked to since we came up with this topic, and how many people I've talked to that said their first game wasn't necessarily their favorite team either.
Well, he certainly wasn't conditioning me to be a Phillies fan, because he was a Yankees fan. I was rebelling against everything. I made up my mind I was going to just fuck the entire household. But, obviously, getting the opportunity to go to Philadelphia and see them back then was a little bit easier than taking a kid and his into New York. But it's neat for me to look back now and think that was my first experience. You know, yeah, do I remember it? No, absolutely not. I don't know who got the decisions in either game, but Vida Blue pitched, I believe, game one, and I believe in the nightcap it was Steve Carlton. So just kind of a neat subject that you're bringing up, and brought back a neat memory for me.
I just want to know something, though. You said you were rebelling against everything at the time. As time is gone, does Dad look smarter?
He'll tell you that, because the question always comes up, well, where's the rings? And that's what all the Yankee fans go back to. You guys know that. I mean, I made the right choice. Definitely, I made a better choice to be a Mets fan. I would be miserable as a Yankees fan.
You know what? That's impressive right there. That's an impressive comment to make right there.
The fact that I would say that in public, you mean?
Yeah, that you'd be miserable as a Yankees fan, yeah.
Well, I could take relish in the fact that I'd be more miserable as a Phillies fan right now. So you guys have a great day.
I'm with Ken, you, brother.
Ken, thanks so much. Kevin's declared himself, by the way, to be a baseball free agent.
That's right. Make me an offer. I will root for your team if the Phillies are 5 or more out come June 30th.
Absolutely.
Although they did take 2 of 3 from Minnesota, and I said to you, or when this week started, they had to at least take this series.
Yeah, they've done that. And suddenly all is well in Mudville.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
No? Our number 1-800-795-9565. 795-9565 on the hotline powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com. By the way, Michael Thompson, the leader, is through two holes, and he is 400 par. Still, he's even through two at this stage. Meanwhile, Tiger is even for the day and 1 under for the tournament, 3 shots back. And Thompson has just bogeyed 3. It's now 2 shots. He is now 3 under par. So Thompson has bogeyed his third hole. As we keep you up to date in the U.S. Open. Our number 1-800-795-9565. What event did your dad bring you to the first time? Sporting event. Or maybe it was a memorable event your dad took you. Conversely, as a dad, what's the first event you brought your daughter or son to, or something that you went to that was memorable on this Father's Day weekend? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Don from Treverton is next. Hi, Don. Thank you for your patience, and welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey, so one of my big memories was June 14th, 1964. My dad and I went to a town team baseball game, and somebody said that Jim Bunning was pitching a no-hitter in the seventh inning, and we quickly went home and watched the completion of a perfect game.
48 years ago yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, it still sticks in my mind. I still have the Phillies yearbook from that.
Don, when he threw the final pitch, what did you and your dad do?
What did we do? Just like cheer, just big cheer.
Didn't hug or anything, or?
Nah, weren't huggers.
Weren't huggers.
Hey, that's fine. Hey, everybody, to each his own. That's why I just asked, what did they do at the end? That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, great. Go ahead.
It was a very memorable day.
It sure was. 48 years ago yesterday. Don, thanks for sharing a great moment with us.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right, Don. Remembering Jim Bunning's perfect game 48 years ago in New York against the Mets, against Ken's Mets.
You know, here's something I wanted to ask you. Speaking of perfect games and no-hitters, we're seeing a lot of them early in this year. What do you think the reasoning behind that is? Is it the pitching's just getting a little bit better, or the hitting isn't as good as it used to be?
I think it's just a fluke.
Takes all the fun out of it.
I know it does, but I think these things go in patterns. I mean, look, there are some years where how long do we go sometimes deep into a season there isn't a no-hitter.
Right.
And people wonder, these things just go in cycles. Well, and that's all it is. Back in 1968, when the pitching was so incredible and Bob Gibson had a year with a 1.12 ERA and Denny McClain in the American League won 31 games, they took the mound and they lowered the mound. And they felt that was giving the pitcher too great of an advantage. I don't think we're seeing that now, to be honest with you. I just think that it happens to be the right circumstances, the right moment. Number one, Matt Cain is an excellent pitcher. And he is capable of having no-hit stuff on any night. Certain pitchers are like that. Roy Halladay has no-hit stuff every night he goes to the mound. I mean, you feel every night that when he goes to the mound, you're thinking, I wonder if he's going to throw a no-hitter. Right? Now, take a guy like Roger Clemens, regardless of the trial, okay, let's put that to the side. But Roger Clemens, all those great years with the Reds, he never threw a no-hitter with the Red Sox. Never did. Awesome stuff. Incredible stuff. Electric stuff. Struck out 20 twice. Not once. He struck out 22 different times. Never threw a no-hitter with the Red Sox.
But maybe here's the reason why it feels as though there's a lot more recently. maybe it's because, and we talked about this many times, maybe it's because of the long news sports cycles that there are now to fill gaps. I mean, now SportsCenter breaks away in the seventh inning if a guy's got a no-hitter going, or you get text alerts from CBS Sports through eight with a no-hitter. Maybe that's why it feels like there's more of these now, because we're just more aware of them with all the games going on.
There have been two perfect games this year. That doesn't happen. Okay? I mean, a perfect game is only one thing rarer than a perfect game. And that's an unassisted triple play. I mean, the rarity of it is remarkable. And to have two in the opening 2.5 months of the season is startling. But it's just, I think, fate and happenstance. I don't think it has to do with, I mean, if the pitching is great, Matt Cain's an excellent pitcher. In fact, the irony is the day that he threw the perfect game, we played the clip of Vin Scully on Sandy Koufax's perfect game in 1965. Now, here's the irony of it, though. It's more than just that. Koufax had established the record that night, which had stood, of striking out 14, the most strikeouts ever in a perfect game. And Matt Cain matched that night with 14 strikeouts in his perfect game. That's the irony of it. On the day we played that clip, Cain is capable of throwing a no-hitter anytime. He's just a very good pitcher, right? But the kid for the White Sox, yeah.
Well, the point I was making,
I mean,
is,
it's like the kid for the Dallas, Bard, whatever his name is, from the Oakland A's when he threw it.
Right.
Really? This is not, the kid for the White Sox is not going to go down as one of the great pitchers of all time. Matt Cain's a really good pitcher who's performed well in postseason play. It's just, that's why it's, when it happens, it's a great night, but also if there's a few of them, it's just a fluke.
Well, you're right. The perfect games are extremely rare, and to have two of them is amazing this part of the season. But again, I don't think, as a baseball fan, I was aware of guys going into the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings as much as I am now with all these look-ins and all these texts and alerts that come out all the time. And maybe that's why it feels as though there's a lot more no-hitter perfect game scenarios now than there has been in the past.
Look, everything's changed. Remember when we had Fran Fischer on?
Sure.
Right.
Which, by the way, I'm looking forward to again.
Yes. Well, Fran, when we had him on, he was in an era as a broadcaster where one, maybe two games a season were on television. The other nine games, you had to rely on Fran Fischer and Jim Tarman, or Fran Fischer and John Grant,
right,
to deliver the game to you. That was the way it was. But now we're in era of cable and the era of social networking and in the era of texting.
And MLB extra innings.
Well, but I said cable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And all of this is instantaneous to us now. I remember when I was 10 years old, Catfish Hunter threw a perfect game for the Minnesota Twins, for the Oakland A's against the Minnesota Twins. They won 4-0 over the Twins. But nobody knew about it till the next morning. The game was in Oakland. The game got over probably about, I'm going to guess, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, right.
Right. But nobody saw it. And it wasn't, you didn't see the highlights of it until the 6 o'clock news that night.
And you didn't read about it the next morning because it was after the deadline.
Exactly. You didn't read about any of that. Now you're alerted to it. You're more aware of it. Like everything that we have now, everything has changed because of the way media is today compared to media when I was growing up. When I was growing up, there were four channels. That was it. We had rabbit ears. We had black and white TV. I mean, that's what we had. Now we have everything in front of us that we can watch. I mean, the kid for the White Sox, I saw the end of his no-hitter. I watched the last inning of that. I didn't see Cain's at all. But you can see all of this now. Right? We see every NFL game or any NFL game you want.
The NBA Finals back in the early 80s before Larry, you know, when Larry Bird won his first NBA championship in 81, it was on tape delay. Tape delay. It wasn't live.
I didn't realize
that. The way it was.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis 500 forever was on tape delay.
I realized that.
And now it's live. Everything is brought to us in that moment. And you are alerted to it, especially now with your phones, with internet access, text messaging, and so forth, that tells you, hey, X is throwing a no-hitter. Right? Peyton Manning's thrown 5 touchdown passes for the Broncos, or 6 touchdown passes for the Broncos. Now he's 1 away from the record of 7. You know, something like that. You know, you may get one saying Sidney Crosby has 5 goals in a game. Alert you to watch the game. Or you may get one that says Kobe Bryant, 90 points, 4th quarter. You're like, hey, I want to go see the end of that. And that's why they do that. They want to draw you to the TV. But you have that access now. Now, for Fran Fischer, on our topic, I want to follow up on Fran for a moment. On our topic of Father's Day, and what event do you remember your father taking you to? And conversely, the event that you remember taking your children to at 1-800-795-9565. You know what one of Fran's happens to be?
No.
His father, when Fran was 9 or 10, right around there, took him to Forbes Field to see the Pirates play the Boston Braves. Okay? Just took him.
Oh, it was not what I... It's not the game I think it is, it?
Babe Ruth hit the final three home runs of his career.
Wow.
He saw Babe Ruth's 712th, 13th, and 14th home runs.
Wow.
Fran was there. His father took him to Forbes Field to see that game.
When he handed over his hat.
And Babe hit 3 home runs, the final 3 of his career. He only hit 6 with the Braves. Those 3 were his last 3.
And weren't they the first ones to be hit out of Forbes Field?
I don't know.
I mean, I know there weren't many hit out of Forbes Field at that time, because I've always heard him comment on how big the field was and how rare it was to see a home run there anyway.
Right. Don't know. But, again, that would be his memory. He's told me about that several times. Incredible. Hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Back with more after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at LenapeSolar.com.
The temperature in June can get hot, but not as hot as the lineup of Kias at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see ya in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia has 46 of the hottest, fastest-selling vehicles in America. Built in the USA, 2013 Kia Sorentos start at just $21,940. Built in the USA, 2012 Optimus from $19,975. 2012 Kia Souls for as low as $14,730. Want great fuel economy? Sunbury Motors Kia has the 40 mpg 2013 Kia Rio starting at $14,960. Or how about the 2012 Optima Hybrid with up to an amazing 47 mpg and starting at $25,957. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Kia, you get an extra set of tires. The hottest, fastest-selling cars are at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. Kia Sorento and CERN Optima. GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts.
Hey, it's almost time for the 4th of July, so hurry to Kohl's for your summer celebration. Get your flag and pole set. Was $27.99, now just $19.99. Kohl's can light up your backyard with solar pathway lights, $2.99 each, or 6-foot torches in copper or black, were $14.99, now just $9.99.
Some like it hot, but not me. I'm going to Kohl's for a 5,000 BTU air conditioner, now just $99. And Kohl's has what you need for what bugs you, too, like a Citronella fuel torch, just $6.99, or Wasp and Hornet spray, 2 for $5.
Lighten up and have some fun with games like Beanbag Toss and Ladder Ball Toss. We're $24.99, on sale for the holiday for just $19.99.
Happy 4th of July. Get your supplies for pool and patio, now on sale at Kohl's Hardware.
Don't forget to fly the colors.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Now, Kohl's is more than just your neighborhood hardware store. Oh, we're still right around the corner with over 15,000 name brand products. But now, you also have great offers waiting for you online. Have you liked us on Facebook yet?
Have you been staring at that old cell phone wondering how much you could get for it? Of course you have. So visit eBay's very own and very popular InstantSale.com. eBay makes it easy to find out what your unwanted electronic gear and gadgets are worth. Sell them for that price right on the spot and turn them into cash. So whether you have a cell phone, iPad, game system, camera, laptop, or any one of more than 4,000 items you're no longer using, just answer a couple of quick questions and instantly get an offer price to sell your item. They'll even send you a free prepaid shipping label. Now, actual prices paid may vary based on whether the condition of the item matches the description you provided, but that's it. You could earn hundreds of dollars with eBay's Instant Sale. If your item isn't working, that's okay too. InstantSale.com will either offer you cash for broken electronics or properly recycle items without a cash value. It's a no-brainer. Turn your unwanted electronics into cash. No hassle, no waiting. See InstantSale.com for complete details. That's InstantSale.com.
If a bone or joint problem is keeping you down, then it's time to get up with the Sun. The Sun Orthopedic Group, that is. Our team of specialists can help ease your pain and get you up and moving again. So come on, get going. Get up with the Sun. Call Sun Orthopedic at 800-598-5096 or visit sunortho.com.
He signs with the Braves. Actually, he provided all the offense in the opening day win over the New York Giants. They won 4-2. But it then became obvious. He was given the title of vice president and assistant general manager. They said it was mere window dressing. They expected him actually to invest some of his own money in the team. He didn't want to do. He says, seeing a team under collapse and realizing he was finished as a player, Ruth retired on June 1st, 6 days after he had what remains one of the more memorable afternoons of baseball history. He hit out his final three home runs, Forbes Field. Fran Fischer was at the game as a 10-year-old. He wanted to quit as early as May 12th, but the owner of the team wanted him to hang on so he could play in every National League park. And the 1935 Braves were awful. They were 38-115.
Yeah.
A .248 winning percentage. They played at Braves Field, which is now Nickerson Field, which is at Boston University, which today announced it is joining the Patriot League. I was shocked when I found that out. Boston University leaving the America East for the Patriot League.